Today, dear listeners, we submit to you a theory. What if mankind is its own undoing? What if nature, pushed to its limits, turned a hostile eye on humanity and the dead mixed with the living? What if our last hope was a courier, determined to deliver packages on time and with minimal damage? Is any of this the plot of Death Stranding? I don't know. I only played like 5 minutes of it. But one among us played all the minutes and finished the game. He has the answers for you and for me here on Controller Freak. It is Controller Freak. I'm Julia here with my bros Owen and Aaron. Hey guys.
Hey.
I think we should all first take a moment and thank Monster Energy for fueling this episode of Controller Freak.
Woo! Right?
We got three giant cans here. I've never had one before, but this seemed like the right time.
As the main character of this game says after he drinks one, nectar of the gods.
Does he really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Whew!
Yep.
Wow! Yep. And that's just the tip of that iceberg of the game Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Brought to you by Monster Energy.
Kojima Productions.
That's the name, right?
How many monsters do you think Hideo Kojima had before he had the first thought that led to this game?
How many can you drink overnight? Because that's how many he had.
Legally or safely?
You tell me.
I don't know the answer to either, but they're different numbers and they're both quite low.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima. This is going to be sort of an episode about him as well. He's very important in video game lore.
He is.
This is my first brush with his greatness because I never played Metal Gear.
Yes.
But you guys are familiar with this quirky, brilliant genius fellow. Yes?
Indeed, we are. He's one of the few, correct me if you disagree, but I feel like he's one of the few auteurs in the video game industry, like, who has a distinct, like, voice. And his voice is very respected and very, very weird.
Mm.
I feel like you could maybe compare him to, like, David Cage, somebody like that, who makes very distinctive games with a very specific, like, sensibility, but he's just been around for so much longer and is just, like, video game royalty.
Mm.
So Metal Gear goes back to, like, the 80s. Metal Gear, the first one was, like, on the Nintendo, I think.
Really?
It goes way the fuck back.
Dang.
And he's been with it, I believe, the entire time. He's like, it's his baby. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a stealth game was not really a thing before that. And he, like, took that from, like, infancy
really?
And brought it. The first one I played was Metal Gear Solid. The first Metal Gear Solid. There's been five of these.
I played the old ones a little bit, but I never really, like, had them and played all the way through. I did play the most recent one, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yes.
Which, starring Kiefer Sutherland.
Right. And it was a really cool game, although it was an unfinished game because there was a lot of shakeups and controversy around this game. You probably
I got in trouble just the other day with a friend of mine, colleague of mine. We were speaking about the upcoming episode of Controller Freak. I said, it's going to be Death Stranding. It's going to get us into the world of Kojima. We started talking about Metal Gear. We started talking about the most recent one, The Phantom Pain. And I said, yeah, it's just a shame that he never finished it. And I got, I would say, sort of, like, decapitated with a death stare. Because I guess the issue is, it's not his fault that he didn't finish it. It's that the studio gave him no choice but to leave.
Right.
Right. I think generally the people who are into games tend to side with him over the corporation Konami, which controlled this franchise, still controls this franchise, but was his, like, was his corporate partner, and they broke up over the course of Metal Gear 5.
And why was that exactly, Aaron?
I actually don't know.
He wanted too much money?
I believe that Kojima basically... My interpretation is that he wanted to make Death Stranding, but, like, as Metal Gear 5.
Yeah.
And Konami was like, no!
Yeah.
So we need to make money!
Yeah, so it sort of was his fault.
Right. I think he rightly understood that his... Without him, Metal Gear was nothing. Like, they've released a Metal Gear since, and it was crap, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was just asking for these big, big, big things, and I think Konami wasn't willing to give them, and so they had a not amicable divorce. And that resulted in Metal Gear 5 being, like, not quite finished.
Yeah, it was a real heartbreaker, and I was so mad, too, because, like, the first half of that game is awesome.
So cool, so fun. They did a really, really smart reviewing thing, which is they brought everyone in before release, all these reviewers, and they gave them, like, I think it was, like, 10 or 20 hours of gameplay, but they couldn't take the game home. They had to, like, just do that. Yeah. And so for 10 or 20 hours, the game is fucking amazing. And then... After that point, that's when you start to have to, like, repeat missions on, like, harder difficulty and, like, get to the end, which, like, doesn't happen, really.
No.
And, like, but no reviewer had gotten there. A few had. Yeah. And so they had this perfect score on, like, Metacritic. It was, like, 10 out of 10.
That seems really illegal. That seems like it should be illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that seems insincere. A little bit thuggish.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
And it's not... It doesn't reflect the actual game as a whole. Did they go back and, like... retract any of that and say, like, actually, Metacritic, this game's only half done?
To my knowledge, enough people had so much fun with the first part of Metal Gear 5 that once they got to the weird, shitty ending, they were like, oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
But
enough people liked your companions, like, D-Horse.
D-Dog.
And Quiet, your, like, hot, bikini-clad sniper chick who doesn't talk.
Who doesn't talk, chick takes showers.
Takes showers. Everyone was like, you know what? It's fine. 10 out of 10.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys always talk about the first half as, like, almost as much as if it was sufficient enough for a whole, you know, like, you had a great time playing those 10 hours or whatever. It's still worth it.
Yeah, I feel like a Kojima game, for me, is always something to look forward to. Because he, even in his, like, AAA, like, studio game phase, he adds in mechanics that are so surprising and adds in plots that are so idiosyncratic and weird that, like, you just can't get that anywhere else. And it... He's so good at creating moments that are extremely cinematic and just, like, fucking nuts. But also at building gameplay that is, like, completely unique. And I remember Metal Gear 5 being... having situations that would occur in the field. And that was a much more, like, straightforward game than this game in terms of, like, you're a military guy. Like, it's an action game. You have guns and things. But
stealthy shooter.
Right.
A lot more than this one.
Right. But the mechanics, like... Like, kidnapping guys to get, like, for instance, if someone was speaking Russian, you would have had to kidnap a dude, convert him who spoke Russian, so that you could understand what was being said. That whole game was about, like, language and, like, how we use language as a weapon, and, like, it was about building a mercenary corps of guys who you kidnap with fucking balloons.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just bonkers in the best way.
Yeah.
And, put a lot of balloons on sheep.
A lot of balloons on, like, furry animals.
Send them back to your ship.
A lot of, like, going back to your base and having, like, hardened mercenaries being like, thanks for saving those cute animals, boss.
Want to have a quick wrestle?
Right. Right. You, like, hitting guys in the mouth and be like, thank you, boss. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun for a while.
It was, like, an amazing game.
So do we think this game is genuinely entertaining? Maybe that's a bigger question that we can circle back to later, but seems to me that might be a question to ask.
I think some of it is genuinely entertaining and fun.
Okay.
But there's just so much shit. It's, like, so bloated with crap, this entire game, that it's, like... Oh boy, there's a lot to unpack.
All right, yeah.
I'm already sweating.
Once there was an explosion. A bang which gave rise to life as we know it. And then came the next explosion.
I finished day. This game, you
finished
guys.
Owen this
finished
game.
Death Stranding. Owen has full-on dooms.
I don't know what that is.
Neither do I. And I've played 20 hours of this game.
It means that I can, when I dream, I see our species extinction. And that's what dooms is. If you have dooms, it means you can see America go up in flames.
Wow.
Which is, you know, an apt metaphor for finishing this game. Like, I've seen things now that I can't unsee.
Right. Like the destruction of Knot City.
Knot City, Edge Knot City.
Which Knot City, Julia?
Mountain Knot City.
Fuck me, I don't know.
Knot City. Miami Knot City.
Yep.
Aaron, how much of this game did you play?
I played like 20 hours or so.
I turned it on. So that's kind of the levels of play that we have going here.
Julia played like an hour, like basically at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Like, and she got to like what? Like, I think you did one
Couldn't
delivery.
Tell you. No idea. Everything was the same.
Yeah.
You got through the first couple hours of cutscenes, I think.
Yes, I saw some cutscenes.
Yeah.
I watched these guys play some, so I have some working knowledge, but I have a lot of questions. It's going to be more questions than answers for
me. I have all
today.
The answers for you.
Okay, thank
and
God.
I'm going to try not to... When I start spoiling the real shit, we'll give Aaron some warning so he can plug his ears up.
Thank you. It's very considerate of you to... Because this game, I can tell, is so stupid, but as we'll get into, like, I am occasionally moved by it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
I don't know if moved is the word.
I
have been aroused, invigorated.
Oh, definitely aroused.
I'm aroused. Yeah, doesn't take
aroused
much.
Just talking about it. But
that's the monster that'll wear off, and then
this is good. By the way, you guys, I'm like 20 sips in. I feel great.
Are you really drinking that monster?
Yeah, dude, listeners,
you're drinking monster coffee. The Java.
This
monster.
This is the Java monster.
I just want to say, like, my feelings about this game are really complicated because it's easy to say, like, I could just say. Like, oh yeah, I finished it because I wanted to be able to talk about it for the podcast, but we all know that's not really true. I don't think I would have... I binged it, and I crammed it, and I monstered it down, and I don't think I would have done that if I didn't get some enjoyment out of it. And I did. I think this game has some great moments, but I also think I was fascinated by it because it was so weird. You can get hooked on a weird mystery sometimes.
Yes.
But at the same time, I would never recommend this game to anyone. To anyone. I wouldn't recommend it to my weirdest friends that like weirdest games. Like, I wouldn't No, and I don't think the writing is very good.
No.
Oh boy, this monster is kicking in now, and I didn't even have that much.
Dude, it's so amped.
Let it take over, buddy.
And
Owen's stamina has increased by a maximum of 25%.
Ride the roller coaster, buddy.
And like, I was trying to answer the question to myself, like, was I invested in the story and the characters? And I don't think I was. But I still really wanted to see what happened. But I think part of it, too, is that I really enjoy games that are unlike anything else that I've done. Been playing games for a long time now.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get a little jaded when you feel like it's just the same shit recycled over and over and over again.
So you appreciate the novelty on some level.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I will never be playing this game again.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, with that in mind, why don't you set the stage for us?
Oh, Christ.
Tell us exactly what you're talking about when you say.
So, we start out in the United Cities of America.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. That's UCA.
The UCA.
Okay.
Yeah. There has been an apocalyptic event recently called the Death Stranding. Mm. And you are controlling Sam Porter Bridges, played by Norman Reedus, who we all agree can get it.
Can get it.
He can get it. The dirty man can get it.
Norman Reedus. And he's a package delivery guy.
Oh,
and
did not realize he was smoking hot before this game. But now, Norman Reedus, if you're listening, you could get it.
Julia needs to stay on He Can Get It a little longer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were we off He Can Get It?
No.
I'm just over here with my monster. It's cool.
It's made clear to you very early on that, you know, he doesn't really like... He doesn't like anybody, and he doesn't want to touch you at all.
Oh.
And he's got this strange condition called dooms.
Dooms.
He's got dooms.
Yeah. But this is a bad world that he's in, clearly. There's this rain called Timefall that makes you your body turn older.
Ew.
When it hits you.
You're a courier.
You're a courier.
You're like DHL.
You sure are.
And it's your job to, like, people order things, and then you fulfill those orders, like FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And your mom is the president.
Hold on a second.
I'm sorry. I know. There's a lot to get through.
Yeah.
your mom.
I'm trying to be succinct here.
No, you're doing a great job. This is just going to be one of those.
I'm already crying.
You know what? Me too.
I'm crying, but not because I'm emotional. It's because I've got dooms too.
Exactly.
Mine is also blood. I'm crying blood.
So you have dooms like me.
I've got the extinction factor, but I think you got me beat.
What is dooms? Since we're talking about it, what does that mean?
You are more connected to the dead spirits of the earth. And the dead spirits are these ghosts, and they're called BTs. And if you have dooms, you can sense the BTs around you.
But the dooms, it's like a, like an, am I right that it's like an allergy to chiralium?
Yes, chiralium.
What?
The mineral that exists in this purgatory afterlife, which in the game is called beaches. You know the beaches? Beaches is a big thing in this game.
Yeah.
If you're on a beach, you're basically in purgatory. You're looking at me blankly. Doesn't this make total sense?
Okay, no.
God.
Julia, what part of if you're on a beach, you're in purgatory, didn't you understand?
I'm still on chironium.
Chironium.
Chirelium?
Chirelium.
Yeah.
Chirelium.
Right, the world of this game changed inalterably when the Death Stranding occurred, right?
Yes.
And we simultaneously discovered this element, chiralium, which allows these amazing technological breakthroughs. But the price of this was that we understood our own mortality in this dangerous, awful way as well. Right?
Yep.
Ish? And so this is a very dangerous place to be a FedEx guy, is my point.
And BTs stands for...
Beached things.
And those are spirits that have come back to be tethered to the earth or something.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So...
Ooh, it is hot in here. Or is this just the monster energy?
It's everything.
No, it's
the chironium.
Yes. It's the chironium.
We don't need a country. Not anymore.
We do. Alone, we have no future.
No, America's finished. Bridget, you're the president of jack shit.
Sam, listen to me.
But yeah, your mom is the president.
Played by
Lindsay Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Who you guys might remember from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with Lindsay
Wagner? No, I don't know why that came out like that. I'm sorry. Doesn't the game de-age her? Didn't he hire Lindsay Wagner just to take her back 30 years?
She plays two people in this game.
Oh,
She's playing your mom, Bridget, the president, and then she's also playing your sister, Amelie. Yep.
Right. Is it right that Norman Reedus, Sam Porter Bridges, player character, is estranged from his family at the beginning of this game?
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything to do with, like, the president or United Cities of America.
Mm-hmm.
He's done with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets pulled back in to help them reconnect the UCA.
Yep. Yeah, your mom dies pretty early on.
Yes.
And she's like, Sam, before I go, you need to continue on my mission, which is to connect all of the cities of America to the internet. To the chiral network.
To the chiral network.
Right.
So that we can get deliveries faster.
Right. So we can get seamless.
So you can
a little
check
quicker.
The status of your package.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm all about that.
And that, like, and that's the kickoff. That's your game. And then, you know, you have your helpers there, like Die Hard Man.
What?
Die Hard Man? What's it been, Sam? 10 years? Look at us. A bunch of deathless freaks meeting like this.
Who is a man that works for the government, and he has a mask on. You don't really know why. What's up with Die Hard Man's mask?
Do they reveal that?
Oh, fuck yeah, they do.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I got chills when you said that just now.
You also have Dead Man, who is... To say he's played by Guillermo del Toro is a little inaccurate, because it's only Guillermo's likeness that's used,
right.
Not his body or his voice.
Oh, really?
It's not his voice. Yeah. Which makes sense, because he has a fuck ton of dialogue.
Yeah.
Sam. It's me. Dead Man.
Like, they really don't go that much into his backstory, but it turns out that he's, like, made of parts from dead people. He's like, I'm a Frankenstein monster, Sam.
But like, over the radio, you're just like,
No. He's, like, in your, like, hangout room, and he's like, I'm so lonely, Sam.
What?
Yeah.
So that's Dead Man. Different from Die Hard Man.
Different from Die Hard Man.
Die Hard Man.
You also have Heart Man, who's Nicholas Winding
Heart
Refn.
Heart Man.
You have Mama, played by Margaret Qualley. These are all people that are going
to
help you.
Who are on your team to rebuild the UCA. Yeah. They're basically Bridget Strand's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're helping them rebuild the UCA. And this is, just to give a little context, if you think this is batshit, Julia, it absolutely is. But it's not that batshit in the world of, Kojima.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kojima has so many different characters that either have code names or just straight up, names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That are, A, ludicrous, B, everywhere in the universes in which they appear. They won't stop saying them.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, many people's names are on their clothing, or in the world somehow because of, the corporation names in this world are the same as the individual names or vice versa.
Yeah.
In Metal Gear games, often there would be code names that would appear, over and over and over and over again until, I don't know, for me, it, lulls me into a trance of, wow, I'm in this other world where, Psycho Mantis is a thing.
Hmm.
And, I don't know, help me out, Revolver Ocelot is a thing.
Did you guys know Conan O'Brien has a cameo in this game?
No.
What?
Yep. He's a guy you make deliveries to. And he doesn't say his name is Conan, but he's I haven't had an audience in 14 years. Why aren't you laughing at my jokes?
Jesus.
It's holy fuck.
Hey, Sam. Sam Bridges. Welcome to our summer home by the falls. Well, thanks for making the trip. I've always wanted to meet you.
So, if that all wasn't weird enough for you so far, let's talk about the bridge baby.
So, yes, the BB.
Yes, which you've probably seen in the trailers for this game. You are hooked up to a tank with a baby inside that you are connected to. And the point of these babies is to help you sense the BTs, the ghosts, around you. Because when the BTs are around, the baby starts crying, whimpering a little bit.
Right.
It starts pretty early on. All throughout, you are having visions of this person talking to the baby, played by Mads Mikkelsen. And you're wondering, what's up with it? What's up with this guy? Who is this guy? It seems like maybe he's the baby's father, but you don't really know what's going on there.
Maybe. I'll keep you safe. No matter what.
Because so far, all we've seen from him is he's being shot from under.
Yeah, right.
And we're looking at his chin, sort of.
yeah,
walking through different corridors. And such.
BB.
Yeah.
BB.
BB.
Hello, BB.
It's Daddy.
You're a good boy.
You start to get the sense that maybe Mads is the villain of the game, but you actually slowly come to realize that he's being controlled by something else entirely, which I'm not going to just get into right now.
Gotcha.
Because you've got this other villain in the game, played by our boy, Troy Baker.
Good old Troy Baker.
He plays this terrorist named Higgs, and he has somehow found a way to control the BTs. And then you learn later that he is also controlled by another being. Yes.
So, we're set up for quite a journey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it all begins with connecting people to the chiral web, the chiral internet.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Letting them print things.
Yes. Gives them Amazon Prime account.
Do holograms.
Yeah.
Regain a sense of pride in their mission.
Mm-hmm.
Because America at the beginning of the game is completely severed. There's been a lot of these, terrorist incidents and void outs, which is what happens when a BT, a ghost, makes contact with a living thing, or when a dead person is left dead too long.
It goes necro.
What?
If you have a corpse in this world, the corpse, if it's just left to, putrefy, will eventually, because of the Death Stranding, cause this awful, catastrophic event. So every corpse is incinerated in this game, or else this shit happens.
Yeah, and one of the first missions you do is to transport your mom's corpse to an incinerator.
Yes.
And I just remember when that happened, I was like, wow, what are we in for here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean, though. This game is, as we've adequately covered and will continue to cover, this game is nuts. And it will always be nuts. Every so often, the idea of this professional courier in the future having to deliver his mother's body to an incinerator Because if he doesn't, like, a catastrophic thing will happen.
Yeah.
That works on, like...
That's compelling.
Yeah, it is.
I know, it's like episode one. Like, where are we going from here?
Yeah. Right, this is, like, the first 2 hours of the game. Maybe hour of the game. And, like, that on that level, Hideo Kojima is, like, masterful. Mm. It's just that's inseparable from all the other bonkers shit that's occurring that, like, is completely confusing.
Yeah.
Mm. You kind of have to have one with the other. And so I really enjoyed those moments of, like, pathos.
Yeah. It's also, like, the game just looks gorgeous. Like,
yeah, it's very pretty.
Beautiful.
Game.
And, like, some of the art direction and the art style is, like, really... So the BTs, I mean, they're pretty mysterious starting out. And then once they actually start, like, attacking you... Hmm. Like, the first time it happened to me, so the whole mechanic is, like, you're supposed to sneak around so the BTs don't sense you. Mm-hmm. And all you have is, like, your little bridge baby crying. And you have to hold your breath when they're around. But if you don't hold your breath, they grab you. These, like, tarry, like, black ghosts are, like, coming up from the ground. And they're trying to pull you underneath with them.
Yeah.
And if you can't, like, hold your balance, they knock you to the ground. And then... They, like, drag you, like, several feet away. A fucking whale comes hurling at you. You've seen this, right, Aaron? Mm.
I haven't seen this in-game, but I've seen this
in-game. It's in-game.
I've never been caught by a BT.
Okay, you will if you keep playing. Yeah, for sure. A whale comes flying at you, and the first time you see it, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And then the whale turns into this monster that kind of looks like the alien from the movie The Thing.
Yep.
And it's chilling.
No, I was more, and the way that you sense the BTs in the field is also, like, really masterfully done, yeah. And, like, this makes sense. His, like, pedigree is, like, stealth, and, like, but it's combined with, seamlessly with his, like, batshit ideas.
Yeah.
So that you're in the field, you know that this area is inhabited by, like, otherworldly ghosts that will hurt you. And the only way you can sense them is, right, using your baby. You click a button, you have to be standing still. It does a little sweep of the area, and you see these outlines of these floating, dark figures who are connected to, like, the sky via an umbilical cord, almost. And you have to, based on those outlines, sort of judge, okay, what's the safe route for me to take? So many times, even in what I've played so far, I was, like, so stressed, holding my breath, like, hearing Norman, like, struggle.
come on.
Because I didn't know exactly where they were. I didn't know how close I needed to be to, right. to trigger there. It was terrifying, even though I've never died in this game. It was still, like, the most stressful stealth experience I've had.
Yeah.
So, like, great.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were too scary. They weren't so bad.
You didn't see much of them.
I saw enough to not be scared of those stupid BTs. It's fine.
You didn't see that whale coming at you, I'm telling you.
No.
It's freaky.
And Julia loves...
I love whales.
The whales are very important to Julia.
Very important to me, yeah.
A lot of dead whales in this game.
That's definitely a way to get my attention, is, like, show me a big, giant dead whale.
And I think...
And now I'm going to be there. I'm going to be like, what are you doing?
Am I wrong that, like, it seems like the game, much like you, senses a kindred, like, intelligence and, like, personhood with whales, and the fact that they have this presence in the immediate afterlife that this game imagines is, like, sort of proof that they have a soul, and that
absolutely,
and that
yeah.
their dead souls are commingled with ours in this catastrophic, like, blurring of worlds.
Is that the whale climax?
There's no whale climax, so to speak. You are constantly on the beach in this purgatory, and there's just whales everywhere.
I think it's smart to isolate whales. Yeah, I think that's maybe one part of the game that I don't think is batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Or I mean, who am I to say what's batshit crazy? He clearly knows what he's doing, this Kojima guy. Right?
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't, I can't connect the dots, that's probably my fault.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think anyone can connect the dots. I'm not sure even he can connect the dots. But I think what we're getting is that he does have a talent for, amidst all this, like, weird shit, finding these very, very, very memorable both gameplay experiences and, like, just images.
Mm-hmm.
He's famous for stuffing his games with cutscenes.
And this game is no exception to that.
No,
right?
No. And I don't even think it's as bad as, like, I didn't play Metal Gear 4, but I heard that was literally just a movie that occasionally you played. And it was like, 100 hours of just, like, old Snake being like, where's Meryl? like running around. I don't know.
But that's how I felt during my short time playing this. I was like, what a great movie. I don't think you need me here, Kojima.
Right.
I don't think you need me.
I know, it's tough because so much of the gameplay is just, like, carrying boxes around.
Right, yeah. Like, oh, and how much of this game is delivery-based?
Most of it. I feel like when this game came out, there was a lot of discussion about, like, when the game, quote-unquote, gets good.
Always like, good sign.
Everyone's always like, it's like, yeah, you know, you gotta stick with it for a while, but, like, then it, like, really opens up, and it, like, really, it's like, no, it's, you're still carrying around boxes and making package deliveries the whole time. That doesn't change. The middle stretch of this game, which was when I heard it got good, was actually the most brutal part because you're making all these deliveries over snowy mountains. Once I got through that stretch, the last, like, I'm going to say the last fourth of the game, you're doing other stuff besides delivering packages.
Okay.
There's, like, some interesting boss fights. Troy Baker's character really gets to shine. Like, there's this great boss fight scene where you're fighting him on a beach.
Oh, wow.
And he, like, you know, he's just monologuing to you about why he's doing what he's doing. And eventually he's just like, all right, Sam, come on!
Troy
showed up for this one.
Of course he did. Yeah. Of course he did.
So, no BTs. No void outs. No bullshit. Just a good old-fashioned boss fight.
You have to fight these people that the game calls mules.
Which
are like the scavengers that apparently like also want to be delivery men. Like it's tied into their weird.
According to the lore, they're addicted to delivering things.
Right.
They're addicted.
The game doesn't really get into that deeply. I thought it would more.
Oh, really?
So Sam not addicted to delivering things?
Not in the way these guys are.
These guys are. They don't care.
How? What's the way they're addicted to delivery?
They can't stop delivering. They used to be. People keep telling me. I guess maybe I'm in, like, the part of the game where there's the heaviest mule lore, because I keep getting, like, emails from guys about it being like, remember, mules, like, used to be just like you. They were heroes, some people say, but then they went too far, and they got addicted to it. Now, all they care about is cargo, dude.
How can you deliver too much and too frequently? It sounds like they're hard workers.
Yeah, this shit is in the emails, right? Like, I only read some of the emails, because there's just, you get 10,000 of them.
Just to give you a snippet of, like, early gameplay in this, after you get through like the opening like glut of cutscenes where you're getting all this bonkers plot, Norman is loosed upon the eastern United States to do deliveries and like connect people to the internet. How this transpires is you're given like a ludicrous amount of shit to carry on your person, either in your backpack or like connected to your limbs. Eventually you'll get like a truck or a bike, but like it's a while. You are then sent out to, like, navigate your way through the wilderness. Sometimes there's BTs that show up that'll make things tense. Or, right, mules will show up to try to take your cargo. But mostly, it's just you're walking up rivers, trying to think of, can I get through this river without falling over? You get to where you're supposed to go, which is, like, a distribution center or, like, a fucking way station. You log into a computer. You put, like, your shit down on, like, a conveyor belt. A hologram of a dude shows up being like, oh, you're Sam Porter Bridges. Connect us to the internet. You connect them. He takes a look at the cargo. He's like, my God, it's beautiful. That's it. You don't say anything. That's the whole scene. And then over the next, like, 10 hours of gameplay, that dude will send you, like, 80 emails. Being like, thanks again for the delivery, Sam. And then, like, using a billion emojis. Like, thumbs up emojis, like, littering them with emojis. These, like, hard, like, distribution center guys, apparently in email, love emojis. And they all, like, seem like they sort of are in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll send you, like, lore emails about, like, remember, the mules are just porters like you, but the dark side. And then they'll be like, I miss you, Sam. Like, it was so lonely, but then you gave me hope. And then, like, 10, like, thumbs up emojis.
Yeah.
And, like, I really loved, like, being out in the wilderness, like, struggling to get up on a ladder, and then, like, receiving an email from, like, some dude I met two way stations back being, like, thinking about you and your baby, Sam. Hope this finds you well.
That's what this game's all about. It's about getting emojis and likes.
And likes.
This game has this thing where when you hook up a section of the map, you can now see, like, the structures that many other players of this game, Death Stranding, have set up.
Yes.
So you can see, like, their bridges, their ladders, their generators, their safe houses that they've set up.
Mm.
And I thought that was really cool, because I was like, okay, this is finally this feeling of community that this game is cramming down my throat, that it really wants me to understand.
That, so is that
we are better together. We are bound together by these strands. Friendship is magic, My Little Pony.
Yeah. Fortnite.
Fortnite. We're stronger together.
Stronger together.
Live together, die alone. Fall. Yeah.
You're just another brick in the wall.
Make America like, strand again.
Yeah.
Make America bridges again.
Yeah. Mama. Totally.
He has a hat that says bridges that you can make red, but, and Julia pointed this out accurately, I like could not do it because it was too Trumpy.
Yep.
To have like the UPS guy show up in the fucking Bridges MAGA hat and yeah. be like, here's your cryo printer.
I'm here to connect you to the internet.
Damn it, immigrants. Yeah.
Yeah, too triggering.
To me, as a guy who like loves RPGs and loves the experience of going into a city and being like, wow, like all the quests, all the people that I'll meet, I hated the experience of showing up to these big cities that I'd work my ass off to get to, and the only experience of the city I have is going to the fucking FedEx warehouse outside the city limits and dropping off whatever fucking medals I have.
Yeah.
To and a then hologram.
Them, right, to a hologram who like talks at me for like 10 minutes.
You don't even talk back, yeah.
Right, right. And Sam has no lines unless it's a very important delivery.
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to feel lonely. It's supposed to feel isolated.
Where are the people? If their hologrammed images are being projected in, where are their bodies? Where are they located?
That's a great question.
Oh, we don't know?
I think they're inside.
Yeah, they're somewhere in the city.
Some guys emailed me about how a lot of guys are afraid to go outside, but now I'm helping that.
Yeah.
What?
So thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
I love you, Sam.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. I thought that was an answer we'd get, and that was going to be a simple...
I think it's terrifying outside, right? Because it's constantly raining that will, like, make you age decades if you get caught in the rain. There's fucking ghosts that will, like, pull you under the ground of whales that will fucking eat you.
And there's men that are addicted to deliveries.
There's dudes that have gone too far. They're addicted to delivering packages.
They used to be just like you, but they went too far.
They used to be just like you, but then they made one prime delivery too much.
Yeah.
And
I think they're, you know, you're still a little scary, Sam. You know, you carry around grenades of your poop.
Yes,
yeah,
do.
Tell us about making grenades out of your poop.
So, like, when you're hanging out in your break room, taking a it's quick
brought
rest.
To you by...
In between deliveries.
Brought to you by Monster Energy.
Brought to you by Monster Energy drink. Room. Yeah, you pound back a monster. And you really pound it back when you're hanging out.
Yeah, the clip of him doing that where his leg lifts ever so slightly is...
Yeah, the first time you take a shower, I think it's Hartman comes over the intercom and be like, Sam... We have figured it out so your dirty shower water can be used for grenades. Also, your piss and your poop will be used for grenades. You can use them against BTs!
And you're just like, rah!
And you're like, okay.
I don't think you have any audible response to the fact that these guys are collecting your, like, shit and piss and, like, making nades out of them.
The latest in our line of EX grenades. I give you the number 2. As you may have surmised, this model was produced with various extracts refined from your fecal matter.
I don't think Sam's like, wow, or like, or like that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You, it's literally just explained to you and you're just like... Mm.
There's a scene later on where Dead Man wants to talk to you in the shower because Die Hard Man is listening and he doesn't know to trust Die Hard Man.
Oh.
And he's like, Sam, come in the shower. And you get in the shower with Dead Man, fully clothed.
He is. You're naked.
Both of you are fully clothed. And you're just, and Dead Man is like giving you a lot of information and you're just standing there looking super uncomfortable, but you're like less than an inch away from each other. And it's like one of the weirdest, most awkward cutscenes in a game filled with weird, awkward cutscenes. Like this one.
It's just you and me. No audio records of what we say. No video for lip reading analysis. Get closer.
We're talking about the private room that you have.
Right.
And it's really a strange, interesting thing. Because they keep talking, it's called the private room, quote unquote, the private room. That's the only way anybody refers to it is your private room. Why don't you take a break in your private room?
But it ain't.
It always stocked with like 8 monster energies. Right, and then there's this sub thing, which is that it's not private.
No, people bother you the whole time.
You are literally in the early moments of the game, you are given a cufflink, which doubles as a handcuff. Everyone uses these in the UCA. I think that's the price of being connected, is that you have this handcuff.
It's fascinating, isn't it, Julia?
All of this.
Yeah. I can hear you.
Do you love it?
Sorry, that was a burp.
That was a monster burp.
Sorry, go on. And like, another sip.
And in your quote unquote private room, there is the understanding that all of these members of your little team are watching you. And Norman Reedus is constantly spiking the camera, looking directly into the camera, and like indicating things. Which implies that he knows he's being watched at all times. So it's like, it's a very lonely game, yes, but it's also like deeply surveilled.
Yeah.
And like, there seems to be an opinion buried somewhere here about like, this is the trade-off. Like, we can have connection, but there is a sacrifice. And the sacrifice is like, nothing is truly private. You can look in the mirror and do little poses and take pictures that are like Norman Reedus.
Yeah. You can fast travel, which I don't even think you...
Can you?
No, I got to.
Yeah.
I haven't used it yet.
With the help of your friend Fragile, who we've not even discussed yet.
Yeah.
Played by Lea Seydoux.
Sam Porter Bridges. The man who delivers.
And she is another courier who works for another company called Fragile Deliveries. And she's also got Dooms. Timefall has like fucked her body up.
Yes. Right, she's got a face of a young woman and the body of a much older woman because the rain Timefall
touched her. Right,
yeah,
and aged her
and aged her.
Right, and she's got this like strained relationship with Troy Baker that is clearly like some weird fucking plot element.
Right. Well, he's a terrorist. We didn't even talk about, he's kidnapped your sister, Amelie.
Oh.
We haven't even mentioned this.
Right, this is what sort of sends you off to the west, is that Amelie was trying to do this work and connect all of the UCA cities, and she got, like, super far out west, but then Troy Baker fucked it all up and, like, now is holding her, basically.
Yeah, Troy Baker, who likes to lick people's faces.
I haven't gotten to that.
Go on.
You will. And, like, yeah, you... It's real gross.
Really hoping that they mo-capped that like completely.
Yeah.
And that covered in ping pong balls, Troy had to like lick Mads Mikkelsen's face like 18 times. Yeah. And the programmers were like, okay, we got some weird interference in that one. Can you do that again, Troy? Yeah. And he's like, sure, yeah.
And you find out that Fragile like used to work with Higgs.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Because everyone's like, you shouldn't trust Fragile. She might be a terrorist.
Right.
But that's not that important.
In
the grand scheme of the bonkers lore of this game, that's not even that important.
Right.
What do you think is the pivotal moment in the grand scheme of the bonkers stuff?
The end. But...
how do we get there? Because right now I'm hearing we do a lot of deliveries. The midpoint has something to do with Higgs?
Well, the whole time you're making your way west, right?
Yes.
You start in Capital Knot City.
Capital
which is like
Knot City.
DC, where you cremate your mom,
mm-hmm.
and now it's time to go west to find your sister, who, right, has been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
As you're making these deliveries, you're connecting people to the internet, you're going further and further west. You keep seeing this map of America that, like, you're slowly getting closer. Right now I'm in, like, Michigan or Colorado-esque, like, mid-nation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how the game is progressing. And then I assume at some point, after the mountain snow level, you do make it all the way to the Pacific. Is that right, Owen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is that when the game starts to get bonkers?
More bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sort of reach this end point where you're at, like, the ocean.
Yeah.
And then it just gets fucking crazier from there.
Where can we start with this craziness?
Well, I think Aaron needs to cover his ears now.
Okay.
I'm going to ever so softly sing Don't Be So Serious by Low Roar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
this game loves Low Roar, the Icelandic indie rock band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Low Roar.
Yes. And every time that Low Roar song plays in this game, which sometimes happens ambiently, which I understand this more for, but sometimes even when you like select it from a menu, you'll like choose, yes, I want to listen to Low Roar in my private room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 10 seconds after the song begins playing, there's a little title card that comes up that's like, "Whoa, Roar, don't be so serious."
Yeah. Like,
courtesy of MCA Records or whatever.
Yeah, it's Hideo, like, yeah. I know the song.
I selected it from a menu, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So I'll be singing that melancholy hit.
Which Kojima finds seductive, and that's why he put it in the game.
And when you guys are done talking about the deepest spoilers...
Mm-hmm.
Can you just make a chiral, like, sign to me, which is, like, interconnected hands?
Oh, is that the chiral? Okay.
Letting me know that it's safe to come out, my bridge baby is functioning again.
Yeah. It'll be like the BT has just been destroyed and the chiral crystals start spreading across the land, like in this game.
I just want to elevate that the chiral sign in this game is, like, hands, like, connected hands, mirror image hands.
Yeah.
And I'm making that sign right now, and Julia just said it's kind of Wu-Tang.
It is.
Which is true.
I mean, credit where credit's due.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity is to have, like, entirely Method Man soundtrack to this.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
All right.
Okay.
I'm covering my ears, and Lower is coming on.
Okay.
All right, so you discover that there have been many Death Strandings before this latest one. Death Stranding actually killed the dinosaurs. So, listeners, if you were wondering about what killed the dinosaurs, that has been answered. It was a Death Stranding. The Death Strandings are brought about by these beings called extinction entities. And your sister Amelie is one of these extinction entities. And get ready for this. The whole reason they're trying to set up the chiral network is because she is trying to stop this cycle of extinction, right? And she thinks if the whole chiral network can be set up, oh boy, all of the information of the world, all the world's secrets will all come in through this internet, and she will know how to stop the final stranding, right? Now you, Aaron, and you, Sam, you are actually Mads Mikkelsen's son, and you are the original Bridge Baby. All the Bridge Babies that have come after that, like the one you're carrying around, are clones of you, Sam, because Bridget... who is really Amelie, because Amelie doesn't really even technically exist. Her spirit exists on these beaches in Purgatory, but her physical body is Bridget. Mads Mikkelsen, his wife, was in an accident. So they come to this distribution center, and they're experimenting on the wife and this baby who's in this tank. So all the visions you're seeing of Mads talking to through the tank, that's like flashbacks of you as a baby.
It's you! Sam.
It's you, of course.
Oh my God!
Of course.
God.
I feel like a lot of people guessed it. And... your mom, Bridget, basically has Mads killed and takes you, the baby Sam, to be this bridge baby, to be this link from the other worlds for research purposes. And that's why you have the power to repatriate, to keep coming back to life, because Amelie gave you this power in the beach. But by giving you this power, she like fucked up the whole death-life cycle. And that's what caused the latest Death Stranding.
Why do you have to stay on the beach?
Sam, I am the beach.
I think
so. Amelie is responsible for it, but she's also trying to correct.
Right. Which I think is a really interesting idea, because she's not trying to bring about the end of all life as we know it. Extinction is inevitable. That's what she realizes.
Mm-hmm.
But she learns, like, you can stave it off. And Sam's perseverance and his willingness to keep making package deliveries, that is like what makes her realize, like, maybe there is hope for mankind and maybe we can fend off this extinction. All right, I think we're good.
Oh, man.
Sorry, did you get any of that, Aaron?
No. I heard you say, I heard you say Sam's perseverance. And I heard you say, but get a load of this. I successfully avoided.
Aaron, you just missed a walk on the wild side.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much sense that made.
I did hear Julia scream like 8 times. Yeah. So
I love a good spoiler.
Have you? Did that convert you? Are you now like totally in the tank for Death Stranding, Julia?
I think anybody who's looking for it to get deep can kind of find that satisfaction. It sounds like the end is not unsatisfying thematically.
No, at least it ends, unlike the last Halo game. But no, I think there's really interesting ideas in there. It's just surrounded by a lot of shit, which is sometimes corny, sometimes incoherent.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of package deliveries, a lot of walking.
And And is maybe like 4-hour game. Maybe it doesn't need to be 40
yeah.
hours.
More and more these days, I play a game. This is Outer Worlds is a great example of this, our last episode, where like I love the game is fun, and then the ending feels like a deep letdown.
Well, I said this game ends about 8 different times. The full credits roll twice at
wow.
the end.
Wow.
That's so Kojima.
It's extremely Kojima.
Kojima loves credits.
Yes.
Loves credits.
Yes, because they roll in the beginning for about an hour and a half.
I still remember in Metal Gear 1 meeting different characters in cutscenes, like you're Solid Snake. You're revealed as Solid Snake while you ride an elevator up from a basement. You, like, take off all your gear, and all of a sudden you're this handsome, ripped dude. And I still remember this amazing shot of Solid Snake, like, beautiful man. And then it says, Solid Snake.
Yeah.
And then it says, David Hayter, who is the voice actor who plays Solid Snake, who I had no idea who he was at the time. No one did, I don't think. Not a famous guy. But, like, that happens to every major character in the game. And it's here, too. Kojima loves putting little title cards and, like, credits in.
Yeah, that seems very, like, tonally specific. Like, you get that there's a smile and a wink behind that, I feel like.
What if
or just a big, genuine smile from a dude who loves credits.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What effect is that meant to have, do you think?
It seems a little cinematic to me, like art house movie, kind of, you know? Like... Haven't you seen that in, like, an indie film that's, like, not taking itself so seriously, if you will?
Oh.
I think it wants to break the fourth wall of seriousness a little bit, because it's so over-exaggerated that, like, I think it's okay if we laugh, no?
And see, like, I agree that there are parts of this that are absolutely meant to break the fourth wall in that way. Like, for instance, when Norman Reedus takes a poop... There's a little shield that closes, and on that shield is a Walking Dead advertisement.
It's actually Norman Reedus' other show called Ride with Norman Reedus, which I think is just about him riding motorcycles.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's his other AMC show that they gave him. As like, thanks for continuing to be on The Walking Dead for 10 years.
Wait,
you can have this show where you just drive around motorcycles.
Are you fucking shitting
it's like, me? It's like the Jay Leno, like, fancy cars show, you know? It's like...
Are you shitting me? Norman Reedus has a reality show where he just, like, rides around?
Yeah.
So he's like, today we're going to be getting a motorcycle.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show, but...
Does he make deliveries? He's like, we gotta deliver a pizza.
just gonna snack on a crypto bio real quick.
Turns on low roar. All right. Setting out on the road. Don't be so serious.
My favorite thing that I saw on this on the Death Stranding subreddit was a theory.
Yes.
So... In the trailers for this game, and you've probably seen it because they appear like right at the beginning, there are these 5 ominous figures up in the sky.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they never really get explained from doing a little bit of reading after I finished the game. They're what's known as the Big 5. Which is, have you heard about the Big 5 yet, Aaron?
Absolutely not.
It's the Big 5 are...
It's Big 4 and it's... Pricewaterhouse, KPMG.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Sorry, no.
Right.
Ugh.
Deloitte.
Yeah. The Big Five are what caused these extinction events. Because there's been more than one Death Stranding. Oh, sorry, Aaron. No.
I'm not making this face as like a, oh no. Yeah. I'm making this face as like a fucking what?
But my favorite thing that I read on the subreddit was the theory that these 5 beings are actually supposed to represent... the 5 Metal Gear Solid games, and the baby that Mads Mikkelsen is missing and hunting for is Metal Gear Solid, and it's Hideo, like, going after his beloved dead franchise, and they're now up in the sky, like, as these ominous beings.
He could have just finished the game!
That's nuts, A. B, am I to understand that all of the major extinction events in the world's history?
Yes, I was mentioning to Julia. I was mentioning to Julia.
Unfortunately, killed
the dinosaurs.
Wait, so is there a BT dinosaur? Do you face a BT dinosaur?
I wish I could say yes, but there is not. That would have been rad.
Why would you not do that?
I mean, there are some crazy BT creatures, but a dinosaur,
and have like fucking Nolan North like mocap it.
I know it would make sense.
Crack this open. I fantasized while I was playing this game late the other night. I fantasized about treating every person who makes... Because this game does effectively, and I think it means to do this, it made me think about the people who do deliver shit for us, mm-hmm. and how they're invisible. Aww. They're invisible. Like, I don't... Yeah. The package appears, and, like, generally, I don't interact with the guy who has it, or I buzz him in or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's a person, and that's important work. That I think would be difficult for a machine to do. And connects us in a very meaningful way. But I was thinking about, like, what if I treated every UPS guy or FedEx guy the way people treat Sam?
Yeah, you send them an email after.
Let me take a look at this. Wow. Not a scratch on it.
Wow. Exactly. Like go down and be like, you're Nick, right? I've heard about you. And then, like, just 1 second while I check this out. And then, like, look at my, like... fucking Atkins bars that he delivered, be like, these are in perfect condition, and then like make him give me his like email, and then like email him like 8 times over the course of the next 2 weeks, be like, I'm still thinking about those Atkins bars, they were good to the last drop. You take pride in your work, I can tell. Did you know that if you put your truck into reverse it'll go backwards? They like highlighted in yellow.
Thanks again for the kitty litter delivery.
Right, exactly. 10
prayer
thumbs
emoji.
Up. Yeah, there's a lot of like prayer emojis in this.
See, Aaron, I kind of had the opposite reaction to that, where I was like, I wanted more delivery foibles in the game. From what I could see, like, I wanted him to be treated more like we actually treat our delivery people, where he's got to walk up 6 flights of stairs and he's got to get like buzzed in.
I did just get to a side quest, which like. These are the most thankless side quests I've ever encountered in a game, let alone like a AAA game.
Oh, yeah.
But like, these side quests are literally just like, deliver this heavy thing to this thing, do it in under this amount of time, and like, you will get an email saying thanks so much. And like, it's like the worst. But I did just do a side quest, just out of curiosity to see if like, something crazy happened, that was literally delivering a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There was a dude who was like, I need a pizza delivered to my sick daughter.
Yep.
He, like, emailed me about it, and I was like, sure. I had to keep it flat. I had to deliver in under 30 minutes.
Is this so hard, Postmates?
And so I delivered this thing to this fucking mountain. It's the apocalypse, really. I'm not Papa John's.
You have a job to do.
And so Sam delivers
fucking
this.
Uber Eats.
And I'm at least expecting someone to get on the fucking hologram and be like, wow, hot, fresh pizza. Like, it's a joke, right? No one gets on the intercom. I just put it on a conveyor belt. I leave. 5 minutes later, the dude emails me and he's like, thanks for the pizza. My daughter was asleep when you delivered it. And I was like, what is this game?
God, yeah, man. Wow.
This is a massive game.
I think we covered most everything that we could, as much as you can.
What's the upshot for you, like, having finished it? What's your takeaway?
I feel like I probably worked through some things in my life. Aww. I'm not sure what those things were.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a stronger man because we're all stronger together with our strands.
Sounds like your dooms is getting better.
Your dooms is getting better. You sound way better.
Yeah, you sound way better.
There was a little while where I would come and visit Owen and he'd be like, and I'd be like, your dooms is bad, buddy.
Oh, funny.
And then he'd just start crying.
Yeah. Don't touch me.
Yeah,
now you can hug me.
I'm gonna finish it, because I've put in too much of my fucking time.
Well, yeah, because it's a game about walking, and the walking is super fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's, like, really annoying how hard it is to walk in this game.
Yeah.
And that's all you get
to
do.
Hold down the left and right triggers. Just keep your balance all the time.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work for me, though, because I like to always have the peeing action equipped so that Norman can whip out his dick at any point, or I can ask him to, and then he can say... Time's not right. Like, there's time for everything. This ain't it.
That's a line you had to record.
I can't pee in the distribution center. Just wait till I get outside. No, Die Hard Man will see me here. Die Hard Man. Can't let him see my dick.
Well, gentlemen, this has been great, but I have to get online and yell at the customer service for my parcel delivery.
Don't.
For my fucking handbag that I ordered 3 days ago. It still isn't here. It says it's at a distribution center in Brooklyn, but it's like, it said end of day yesterday, and we are now at today. And
look,
it's just
tough.
Like...
It's tough. You got BTs. Also, is this game an RPG?
Oh my god, is it?
I'm gonna say no.
It's a role-playing game in that I now play the role of Sam Porter Bridges every day in my daily life. But no, this isn't an RPG.
Mm. Oh my god, you are joking. Like, when I have to, like, walk long stretches carrying something heavy, like going home for Thanksgiving and having, like, my, like, heavy duffel bag, the amount of times where I'm like, oh, it's like Sam Porter Bridges. I'm not kidding. I think about it.
That's amazing.
It's in my head.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
And look, what were you doing? You were carrying your cargo back from being connected with your family mm-hmm. at an important time. You traveled to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You're traveling back.
Yep.
Taking the things that are valuable to you with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a chore, but it was worth it because those things mean something to you and to
yep.
them.
Yep. To Die Hard Man.
To your dad, Die Hard Man.
Yep.
To your mom, Mama.
Mama. And that's as far as we can take this metaphor.
Well, I'm out of Monster Energy drink, and so that means we're out of time. Right?
We've still got one more in the
We can keep the party going. Unleash the beast. Or we could leash the beast back up.
All right. Let's leash the beast in 1 second, but here, I'm going to put down my laptop.
Whoa.
Okay. Guys, will you give me a rating? I'm going to chug the rest of this. Mm-hmm. Will you give me a Sam Porter Bridges rating from on a scale of, like, novice handler to Porter to expert mover to the man who delivers
mm-hmm.
as to how well I fucking house this Monster Energy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready?
Good so far. He's got the sit down.
All right. BB is crying.
Oh, the light came up! Oh, yes, yes.
I wish the listeners could see this. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who delivers.
The man who delivers.
Oh, I feel like shit.
I just want to end by saying that Controller Freak is in no way associated with the Monster Energy family of beverages, but the recording of this episode was absolutely made possible due to the unimaginable levels of taurine and psychotic amounts of B vitamins present in Monster, which we purchased in great quantities, both in the classic original flavor and the delightful Mean Bean flavor. Monster, it's in us! Now that we're all wired, we're gonna head to the gym to do some lifting, maybe break someone's face or neck. After that, we're taking a wee holiday break, but we'll be back in January with a game that'll be worth the wait. The mega classic tearjerker, The Last of Us. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember, Troy Baker is the gift we give ourselves.